Good evening, everyone. I have the slides ready this time, so this should go well for us, although it is me, so things could definitely go wrong. Last Sunday, I gave a really hard-hitting lesson, and I wanted to kind of give something that carried the message a little bit for this for tonight's lesson, but I also wanted to give take the opportunity to talk about washing your hands both from a spiritual perspective as well as from a physical perspective. Washing our hands becomes really important this time of year because we start getting sick and we pass it on to others, and it really can affect the entire church. As you can hear, there's a few coughs out there today, and it's just something that we hand off so easily. And so I wanted to take the opportunity to take some of my health background and talk today about how to wash your hands. And so I thought I'd start us off with a little thing that I saw while I was in Greenville last year. For their training class, they had us put on gloves, and they started by having us put these on and then went around with a dollop of paint, which you could see this as either way. The germs that you carry about every day, or this could be soap. And in this case, it was soap. So they had us wash our hands with our eyes closed and, you know, just do it. And you think you're cheating because you're like, ooh, I know what to do here. I'll just wash really super duper well. And then you stop and then you notice all these spaces that you missed on these gloves that are, you know, highlighted for you. So you see that even though you think you're washing your hands particularly well, you miss. We almost always tend to miss our fingernails. We tend to miss in between. And there can be so many places for you to miss. And if you've got gloves at home, I encourage you to try it because you'll think you've got everything. You don't. But anyway, illustration aside, there's many ways that we can wash our hands. There's, of course, the ways to do it with soap and water. Soap tends to be a mechanical thing. It takes, it lifts off dead skin, sloughs it off, and it also raises the germs off. So that way when we rinse, it all gets washed away in the water. But we can also take alcohol, which is more of a chemical thing. It destroys the cells that are there, and that's a bit better in terms of true cleanliness because as long as you continue to rub the isopropyl alcohol until it is dry, then you can get the best cleanliness. But anyway, when you wash your hands, make sure to go across, rake across the backs of your hands like this. Make sure to take the time to clean your nails. Ladies, if you've got nails that are kind of, if you've got the fake nails that go on, that's a real reservoir for keeping germs underneath, so be sure to wash those. If you have the time, you can rinse underneath your nails. That's your biggest reservoir for germs because it's tucked in, it's underneath, and it's a breeding ground because it's small, it's tight, it's confined, it's a little wet. But anyway, so be sure to wet your hands, lather, scrub vigorously. You can keep going until you get to have finished Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or Happy Birthday, and then rinse with running water. So anyway, and I should have gotten to this slide first. But also, on top of washing your hands, you need to, there are many ways to keep yourself from getting sick as well. One of the greatest places to get sick is by touching the inside of your eye right here. It's got so many glands that it can go, so many pits and things it can go to. That is one of the best places to get sick is by touching right here inside your eye. Nose, mouth, those areas are the best ways to take germs that are on your hands and get sick with them. So if you have touched a doorknob, if you've shaken hands with somebody, if you have gone to the bathroom, it's time to wash. And all of this is just, so I'm sorry, a little unorthodox beginning, but it does have a spiritual application. It is important for us as Christians to wash and to be spiritually clean. We are to try to keep ourselves without blemish and without spot. But the washing that we need to do is not one that involves soap and water, but it is a vigilance of how we carry ourselves throughout the day. It is a vigilance about what we do when we say it, so that way we are clean. In terms of things in the Bible, the most recognizable example was Pontius Pilate, who then physically has a basin brought to him, and he washes his hands to the crowd, saying, "I have absolved myself of this issue." And Pilate is unfortunate here, because he's thinking about this purely from his role and his capacity as a leader in Rome. He's not looking to Christ, the person who could absolve him of sin, someone who clearly he even understands is more than what he seems to be. He's not just a person. He is a leader. He is something more. But he can't. But he's so blinded by his office that he then takes this stance of, "Well, I wash my hands of this. Whatever you all do is up to you." He needed to be looking to Christ, and he needed to be washing his hands not with that basin of water, but with the absolution that Christ could offer. We also see the apostles questioned in the book of Matthew about washing their hands. They think that they can trap Christ in having not followed a part of the law by saying, "Well, your disciples, are not washing their hands like they should be. Why is that the case?" And Jesus, in typical fashion, turns this on its ear, and instead of giving in and starting a dialogue of, "Well, here's what," he then rebukes them and says, "Well, you all don't even tend to follow the law in the first place. So how can you worry about them following this one rule when you all don't even follow the major rules that are laid out for you? And how can you look at them and start throwing issues when you yourselves have a problem?" And as a brief aside, we were in Knoxville earlier today, and we heard this interesting lesson about prisons. But anyway, the one thing that I wanted to incorporate here, he was talking about Matthew 5 and about how they're talking about judge not lest ye be not judged. And he says, we tend to spend a lot of time looking at that passage and going, "Well, we should judge." And we see that through the subtext and through the assumptions that are made in it. And he said, but if that's what you take away from it, then maybe you need to go back and look at judge not lest ye be not judged in the remaining of the passage, because he's warning you that you don't need to judge. If your takeaway is that we should, is that we can judge, then maybe you need to go back and look at the text. And this is case in point what's happening here. He's telling them, you know, you are looking at them and saying, "Let me take care of that sawdust that's in your eye," when they themselves have beams in their own. So, being washed is important. We are to wash ourselves in terms of a physical sense for our own health, but we are to wash ourselves and our hands, not just our hands, but our entire body in the blood of Christ. We are to be washed, putting away the old man, and being baptized into the body. So Acts 22 verse 16 says, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Similarly, in 1 Corinthians 6, when we're washed, we're not just washed and some of it gets put away because we washed with soap and water, but we are completely rinsed, sanctified, and justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in probably a very brief lesson that could have been a Wednesday night one, if you have heard and you have believed, come forward tonight to repent. Come to be baptized. Confess your sins with us, and we will be glad to baptize you tonight. If you need the prayers of the congregation, whatever the case may be, if you'd like to come forward, please do so as we stand and sing in encouragement.